Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a Church of Faith and Healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Well, welcome everyone to Angel Talk. We have an exciting show for you today. We're going to be talking about manifesting God for other people to see. Manifesting the love and blessings of God through us is our greatest duty. How often do we do that, especially for others we do not know personally but know of their needs? God is waiting and hoping because we have free will that we will manifest his blessings to someone who's been praying for them. We may never know, but God does. So join us for another exciting Angel Talk radio show sponsored by the Living Light Center, a Church of Faith and Healing. I'd like to share a prophecy with you. As many changes are happening around you, the opportunity to become more aware of God in your life is presenting itself. The light, which is God, is increasing in intensity to help raise awareness. It is the awakening of consciousness. For Christ is the light and the eternal life where all light emanates. He is opening the door for you to fully accept him, and he will meet you in your own temple, your physical body and mind. Allow yourself to enter into the Holy of Holies within your own consciousness. Feel his presence as it comforts and guides you, washing away all feelings of guilt, shame, or fear. Allow yourself to embrace this oneness with him and feel peace of mind. Allow his love to fill your body, mind, and soul, and know his endless caring for you. This energy is one you will never want to leave. It is a moment for you of knowing what pure, higher energies of love, light, comfort, and peace feel like. Once you embrace it and allow it to fill your soul, you will want others to experience it also. It is learning to go within and invite God to meet you in oneness and learning to stay within the divine laws. When you feel this pure, unconditional love, it will give you a deeper compassion towards others and a willingness to want to do good for others. Because the more you give to others, the more God gives to you. And always smile. Be joyous. Because whenever you can let go of fear, anger, jealousy, envy, greed, and offer forgiveness, you become completely open to receiving all of God's love, and it will be endless. If you insist on holding on to these energies that will block your opportunities to let the light in, and this negative energy will intensify and it will try to consume you. Pray and ask God to lift these burdens from you and begin living your life without these burdens. Have faith. He hears your prayers. But be aware of all things. If you want to grow in consciousness, you must become more aware of what you say and do. Take the higher path and honor God. For God knows what you need before you ask, but you must ask, and he will be there for you. Always praise him for granting you what you have asked for. Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sabaoth, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Blessings to you.
Wow, pretty powerful. You know, I remember somebody telling me once that the first part of it was, you know, never worry. And Jesus said that on the Mount of Olives when he gave, when he spoke to the crowds. And he said, will worrying add one day to any life that's here? Will any of you add one day of life by worrying? He said, no. He said, so why worry when you can pray? Now, if you can't pray, well, then maybe you should worry.
Very true.
I actually had someone tell me, you know, there are times that it's hard to pray. And I don't know why, it's just one of those days, you know, where it's hard to get through. And she told me, she said, that's when I praise the name of God. I just go into a praise and just continue to praise his name. And all of a sudden, it lifts the blockage. And, you know, I've used that many, many times since. And it works, you know, because praising the name of God is the most important thing of all. It's not the prayer. Like you said, God already knows what we need before we ask. And so even if you went before God and said, I know you know what I already need and why I came here, and I praise your name, glory be to God, for answering the prayer, you may find that it comes quicker and greater than you even anticipated. There's so many things that are happening right now on our planet, so many things. And are we taking notice? I'm getting more and more people that say, well, I've noticed some things that, you know, that are way different and they haven't been before. And, you know, right now they're talking about peace. Well, the Bible tells us about peace. When they all stand up and say, it's peace, you know, it's going to be peace, then look out, because coming right after that is going to be a major war. And you don't want to sound, you know, pessimistic, because peace is a great thing. But, you know, when you put men and women, you know, who are human together, it's hard when really all we have to do is all just come to the conclusion that there's one God, and raise our arms and praise one God at the same time, and it would rush across this planet so fast and change so many things. But how often are we in that type of a state? You know, we think about the past, and the more we think about the past, the more it really becomes the present, because you're bringing it forward. And or we think about the future, what's going to happen, what's coming, what's the whole nine yards. And again, it brings it backwards. And so you really don't have anything in the middle. And I ask people, I say, well, it's past, present, and future. What is the present? Well, it's, and they think about it for a minute, and it's like, no, it's okay, because you're not going to be able to answer it. The minute that you do, it becomes the past. You know, it just automatically does. And so you'll never be able to grasp it except in one way, and that's in patience. Patience is the fourth aspect of time. And so the key there is to be in patience as much as you can. And I tell people in the checkout line, you know, all of a sudden one of the checkout lines will open up and somebody will look at me and go, you should rush over there. And that it's not going to work, because I have learned that in this life, you know, patience is something I need to learn. Because if I jumped over there, this line would go faster. There are going to be 10 people in the line I'm in, one in the next one. And still, the line that has 10 in it will go faster than the line that has one. Whatever lane I'm in, it ends in 500 feet. It's just as simple as that. But in patience, you can watch it. You can see it. You can connect the dots. And it actually is an aspect of time. And when we can actually grasp patience and live patience in a patient way, we can step back and watch ourselves go by, so to speak. We can watch what we're doing, how it's connected, and how it turns out, how it started, And it actually takes and it creates a pause in life. And it's amazing when you do it. It allows you to see so much that otherwise you just can't see. It just goes by so quick. And until the end of the day, and we go, oh, I was going to do that, and I didn't. There, you're looking at the past. And, you know, once something passes, you'll never get it back. You'll have an opportunity. But do we take advantage of those opportunities? Because if we don't, we will never, ever get another chance to do it. Did we plant a tree today? You know, there's a lot of saplings out there, a lot of small trees that you can get, you know, some for free. And some people say, well, I don't have any place to plant it. Plant it on the side of a hill or on the top of a hill or, you know, away from power lines or somewhere. Or ask somebody if they'd like to have a tree on their property and plant it. You know, we talk about greenhouse gases. Plant trees. The reason why we have any greenhouse gases is because they're cutting trees quicker than they're planting them. I drove through Pennsylvania once, and where the gas companies had placed their pipes, they were required by law to plant trees, these little saplings, and they would put these plastic yellow poles over them to protect them until they got big enough to stick out the top. They were about 2 feet high, I guess, and then they were supposed to pull the pole off or cut the pole off or whatever it was they did. And I remember riding around with my wife's family more than once, and I'd see, you know, mile after mile after mile along the road, you know, where it was flat, these poles. And every once in a while, and when I say every once in a while, I mean every once in a while, you'd see a tree. But otherwise, you know, there weren't any trees. They were just yellow poles. And so I remember asking her dad, I said, you know, where did they put those poles in and I guess plant those trees? Oh, goodness gracious. I think that was probably only about, you know, maybe 5-6 years ago. I said, well, then there should be a tree coming out of that pole. Well, never thought about it before. And I thought, well, what you have there is a graveyard of yellow poles. I mean, you know, hasn't anybody thought to ask or require that they replant that area with trees? Because otherwise, I mean, you're destroying, you know, you're talking about 50 miles of highway, and you're destroying it, and one tree every 10 miles is just not going to do it. And we know that the balance of the planet and our greenhouse gases are, if you have enough trees, it gives off oxygen and carbon, but in equal amounts, so that it can be used and utilized for life on the planet without destructiveness. And I mean, I just, it's hard for me to contemplate. I've got pictures, you know, I'm the guy that's always got the camera. So I took pictures of those poles, and it's just, it still boggles my mind when I go back and I look through those pictures and I see nothing but a graveyard of yellow, yellow poles. And so it really becomes just that. It becomes a matter of, do we take the time? Do we? I even asked people, have you planted enough trees just to make up for what you've used? And that includes toilet paper, you know, your kids at school. I mean, everything you use paper products for, or that trees are used for. Have you planted enough trees to make up for what you've used? If you haven't, well, you got to ask yourself the question, you know, am I doing what God would have me do? And it becomes a simple answer. I mean, plant a tree and plant it in God's honor. You have to put a little tag on it that says, you know, for God, in one of its branches, and plant it. In any way that we can, giving to God, what is God's? Everything. God created everything. And if God did not create something or is not in the creation, then there's only one other side. And there is much I can tell you that we see that God's not in, because it's a poor copy. And when something or some being tries to copy God, it just doesn't come out right. You pull something out of the box, it doesn't work right off the bat. And so the key there is to rid whatever it is of that false spirit or false God, and don't give it the attention it deserves. When we go forward, don't we want to move in a way that is glorifying God? Because isn't that what it really, again, is all about? Yes, of course it is. And so, you know, it's about moving as we're supposed to move. And that's momentum. You'll never get momentum by starting something and then stopping and going over here and doing something else, or stopping that and going over here and doing something else. You know, left, right, it doesn't matter. The key is, the goal is heaven, is it not? And let's just say that for the sake of it, heaven's up. And so you always want to be moving in that way. You want to be moving in the way God would have you move, which is toward him. And, you know, I used to always say, I want God to come to within me and, you know, and become part of everything I am. But, you know, it's just as much that you can become a part of God, because God's perfect, you're not. So, you know, if you really want to be one with God, you have to go to within God. In other words, you have to put your will as one with God's will. And you may say, well, how does no one know what God's will is? You don't. You may know the law. You may know what's right and wrong, and most times we do anyway, and we do it in anyway, whichever way we want. And you can't. You know, when you do, you set yourself back. And the whole idea is, again, the momentum. Without the momentum, you know, you'll never make it there. You'll constantly be stopping. You'll constantly let something, you know, deter you off the path, or, you know, or distract you at any given time, and that's going to get worse. You know, we were told in a prophecy that there were 10,000 copies of Satan that were about to be unleashed upon the earth. Now, can you imagine, as bad as it is, can you imagine 10,000 Satans? And what's their purpose? Is it to cause you harm? No. It's to tempt you. It's to get you to do it yourself, because it's a free will planet. And if it's forced upon you, then we're no longer under free will. So the key here is that you will be tempted with what you think you need or what you want the most, but God knows what you need. Praise his name for granting you what it is that you need, and you will get exactly what it is you need. If you think about momentum, when the police come to a door and they have to knock the door down, do they stand right in front of the door with a great big pole and just swing it and hit the door and knock it down? No, they don't. They stand about 10 to 15 feet back, and they come running with the pole, and they hit the door, and the door gives way, because it's momentum. In momentum, you want to move the things out of your way, the boulders, the, you know, the stumbling blocks. You want to move those out of your way. You have to have momentum. You can't stand in front of it and go, I think I can move this boulder. It's you will find yourself struggling and struggling and struggling, and it's not God's way. God says, you know, start here. Even if you don't, you know, think that you can, or you may not think that it's possible, but nothing is impossible to God. God is not limited by your circumstances. And so in that momentum of moving forward, moving higher, always looking up and seeing the face of God and being one in God's will, there's no door. It can't be knocked down, no boulder that
that can possibly be moved. It's just the way it is. So the idea is, like Sandy said, in forgiveness, let go, and you can be healed. You can be blessed. You can receive prosperity. You can be given rest and comfort. But if you hold on to a grudge or to something someone's done to you, then it will continue to create within you friction. And friction will only cause you stumbling blocks. And so don't let that happen. Whatever you do, don't let that happen. And that's one of the keys. One of the others is when Jacob came before his father, and it was time for him to be blessed and his brother Esau to be blessed. And Esau was the firstborn. You know, when a baby was born then and they were twins, they would, if the hand come out first, they would tie a little ribbon, red ribbon around the hand, around the finger, so that they would know which baby came out first, even if it was just a hand, and the hand went back in. But, and that seems a little odd, but I guess you would have to consider that the firstborn. But Jacob was the one whose genetics were necessary for there to be the state of Israel, for there to be a new name given, for there to be, you know, that lineage that would eventually birth Christ. Because even then, you know, it was known by God in the future that there would be that need for the begotten. And though Jesus, the Christ, was the only begotten Son of God, he was begotten within the mind of God before creation began. And so he was re-begotten when he came into the earth as man, walked the walk, and then was born again or re-begotten again as the Christ, and had walked this earth for the sins of everyone. And it seems like a paradox almost, but it's when you can come before God, no matter what you've done, no matter what sins you've committed, or even it goes back, it says biblically, four generations. The sins of the father can be passed down four generations. So you can't possibly know everything that becomes a stumbling block. And so the key is, ask for that forgiveness and come and ask for mercy and do it from the heart. And if you think, well, I was born again, you know, when I was 12 or when I was 24 or when I was 35, it doesn't matter. You know, yes, you became born again, but do you really think that that's the all that is necessary is the one time? Not that if you are born again, that you don't have a place in heaven, but every day we should become re-begotten. Every day we should ask for forgiveness and dedicate our lives to God. And in doing so, act out that which God would have us do. You know, it's not about what we have to get done, what's out there to do. I mean, it's really about God first. And take a few moments every day and reestablish your connection to God and ask that He lead you in His love and in His will. And that will take you where you need to go. There is so much happening. Right now, science has told us that there's a new moon in our solar system, or not our solar system, on the inner solar system. As a matter of fact, they put up a picture I noticed on one of their news stations, and it showed the one moon beside the other. Well, I have a picture of that new moon, and it's got what looks like a chunk of concrete on the bottom of it. It is not the same moon we have always known. And so, you know, it's there. And can you imagine another moon? I mean, what types of things could it create upon this Earth, you know, that could be a problem or could be a blessing? And see, there's the key. Well, depends on how you're living your life. You know, it's been my experience that when you leave the path or forget that you're on it, or don't think that you have to be reminded every day to make that connection with God and keep your eyes on God, that you soon find yourself sinking beneath the waves, even as Peter did. And so the key here is that it can be a blessing, but, you know, but the key is we have to constantly keep our eyes on everything and our ears open. You know, if you have to pick between the two, sit down on the park bench, close your eyes, and sit there for 5 minutes, and you will hear things that you will never see. And you will be amazed, because you can hear, you know, 10 times what you can see, and things you wouldn't even think about. And it's so much more harmonious. When you open your eyes, you see things, they're connected to sound and past, the past and the future, and what might happen today, and what's going through our minds, you know, as far as, you know, what we have to get done. That's the eyes. The ears are not that way. The ears are connected directly into the sides of the brain that they are located on. And so if you close your eyes and you listen, you will find that it's as close to the here and now as you could probably get. But there are so many things that are happening. You know, I remember when Sandy and I first started doing radio and television back in the 2000s, early 2000s, and literally we would talk about coronal mass ejections, that if they hit a one, I mean, it was massive. I mean, it would hit the Earth and cause the magnetosphere to go kind of crazy, cause the Earth to wobble, and it would affect humans. Now, you ask a scientist, oh, no, they don't have any effect on humans. Really? Something that big? Plasma that's rushing toward the Earth at a massive speed, and it hits our magnetosphere, and it's not going to affect the humans that live on the planet? Well, come on. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, Jim. And when you speak of one, there's the C class, there's the M class, and there's the X class. I assume you mean the X 1.0.
Yes. Well, we're beyond that now, aren't we? Isn't there a X2?
Oh, we've hit well up into the numbers, yes.
I mean, X29. I mean, mm-hmm. So if back in the X 1.2s, you know, you and I would always feel them, and they would put a pressure around the body and around the head. And now you're that rate, that high, people can't help but have it affect them. It's difficult to not have it, you know, put you in a state of, well, I just don't feel right today. I feel like I'm kind of off balance. And that is exactly what it's for. There was one once asked, you know, well, what is the purpose of the coronal mass ejections? And it was said that it's mankind. When there are wars on the planet, when there are, you know, all manner of evil and sin, then don't think for a minute that the sun itself and across its face won't react to it by emitting a blast of solar material. And when it hits the Earth, we are 10% of our magnetic field. And when it hits the Earth, literally, you know, if there's a hole anywhere, and my guess, if you've got one that's a 2.9 or something, I mean, goodness gracious, my guess is one way or another, it finds a way in. And when it does, it gets in, and it gets into the layers of the atmosphere. And sometimes it'll create a pocket. And that pocket will be 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And can you imagine if matter from the earth were to be blown upward and it would get into those layers and somehow connect with that 10,000 degree Fahrenheit ball of fire? Oh, my goodness gracious. You don't think that all of a sudden we would have fire from heaven? And I have to wonder, where are all the fires coming from in California and you know, up through that area and up across through the top of the United States? I mean, some of those they can't explain. Oh, was this probably, or it may have been that, or we think this guy could have caused it. But those fires are almost, you know, combustible instantly. And so I have to wonder, and our nuclear plants, you know, the one in Japan, they haven't stopped allowing that nuclear, you know, that nuclear
Fukushima.
Yeah. That from, you know, being poured into the ocean. They say they've got the best, they've now have the best profitability that they have ever really ever had. You know why? Because they don't have to fix anything. They don't have to worry about much of anything. They just open the gates and let it rush out into the ocean. Well, I can tell you right now that there are fish species that are dead, that are no longer in those areas that at one time flourished. And so a lot of your fishermen from the coasts of Alaska and other places there, they have had to change what it is they're fishing for. I mean, but yet it's just kind of looked the other way. I mean, we have got to be aware, and we can no longer sit back and just go, well, you know, I mean, what can you do about it? You can stand up. And that's all you have to do is stand up. Stand up and speak it. And if enough people stand up and speak it, guess what? You're going to see changes. Because most of the people who are in charge of something, you know, on the highest levels of government, they want to be seen as perfect. They want to be seen as, you know, hey, the best that's ever been. I'm the best at this. I'm the best at that. You know, that's why I was elected. But somebody has to bring it to their attention. And they don't want to do it, especially if it's going to, you know, move into those areas where their money comes from for reelection. You know, I talked with one of our former sheriffs over here, and that's what he told me. He said, the first election, no problem. Second one, it's all about the money. And those were his words. And, you know, it made so much sense. And yet, what are we doing? Are we doing something about it? You know, the key is when you go before God, be who you are. Don't try to be something you're not. You know, when you're out there doing things, be who you are. And one with God. And you will find that God will bless you. But if you're something else or you try to be something else, then how could God possibly bless you? Because you're not you. And too often, we worry about, what's somebody going to think? I mean, you know, I really can't be that person that I am, because if I am, well, you know, people will look at me like I'm, you know, either crazy or they'll give me credit. And you know what? The key here is that the only one you should be worried about is God, and God knows who you are.
That's right. Absolutely.
And so the idea is to be who you are, come before God, make sure that forgiveness is your utmost priority, and ask to be forgiven of all your sins every day, as many times a day as you can, and know the sacred names of God and speak them, and give God praise as often as you can, because it doesn't matter if you were saved 12 years ago. You know what? That'll probably get you into heaven. But don't you want more than that? Don't you want God, your Father, to acknowledge who you are? Don't you want the Christ to acknowledge who you are? And he has no problem with your name. And that's the key to it. And remember, everything that happens in the present, not the past, not the future, in the present, we'll call it. And I'm going to give it the name patience. You'll only have one chance in life, in this life, to be able to get it done or do what it is that you can do for God. I mean, wow, to think that, you know, what can I do for God today? You know, I mean, he doesn't have to have me, but to be able to show him, not just praise him and not just, you know, ask for forgiveness, but to show him. Plant a tree. They're everywhere. You know, you can get them from the Arboretum Society. You can get them all over the place. But, you know, plant a tree and plant it somewhere where it's needed. There are a million places if you just drive around the country. And you know what? I'm sure that a farmer somewhere would let you plant a tree. And
is this true?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you have some things you wanted to go over, Sandy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I want to start off with just understanding a few things here. You know, we ask, what is truth? Well, the answer is law. And we ask, what is law? And the answer is love. And we ask, what is love? And the answer is God. And what is God? God is law and love. And these are as the cycles of truth itself. So what is the law of love? It's giving. Just as given in conjunction with love thy neighbor as thyself, or love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, thy soul, and thy body. And in this, as in many, we see upon our physical or the earth or the material plane, the manifestations of the law. Without the law itself, that is the law of love. You know, so when we say what is love divine, well, it's that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit may direct you, does direct you, and will direct you in every thought and act. So as Jesus the man, as he applied the law, he made himself equal with the law by becoming the law. No doubt, no fear, no animosity, no self, but selfless in God's purpose. This overcomes the law as related to all phases of materiality, even including gravity. So practice charity to all, love to all, you know, finding fault with none, being patient with all, like Jim said, showing brotherly love and brotherly kindness. Against these, there is no law. And the application of them, you become free of laws that are controlling all of our body and mind. And you are then conscious of being one with the creative forces. Paul tells us that God has said, I will never fail you, nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Spirit does not forsake. It is the other way around. We give up on God when we don't believe our prayers are answered, when nothing seems to work and everything appears to be in limbo, or when we are all caught up in this world that we forget where the power is. That's when we turn to the ego to make things happen, okay? And we usually end up disappointed. We have to trust. Our conscious awareness of ourself, our life, and God is that one mind in a different vibration. There is no separation. There never has been. All is God. We are as Jesus. Yet those with dispirited mind can feel separated from their source because through guilt, they have forsaken spirit as cause. And what's the principal reason for this? Well, it goes back to our dependence on the external world for our happiness. If we believe that anything in the world we have created is necessary for our well-being, we are transferring our power to the world of effects. And to do so is to affirm a life of feast and famine. Why? Because we have deserted cause, our source, and are mentally, emotionally reaching out into a world that we perceive to be filled with good and bad, pleasure and pain. And so it is. So what would Jesus say? He would tell you that the gifts of God have been given and need only be accepted. But he would point out that the gifts are not material. They're spiritual. The gifts of God are life, love, joy, and peace, harmony, divine order, and faith, and only the absolute goodness of life. And he would remind you that it is your mind that translates these gifts into form and experience when you're focused on the truth of you, on the heavenly realm of cause within, and not on the miscreated world of effects. We created the material world with our thoughts, and we continue to create. Our minds are doing it right now, depending on where we are in consciousness. And through the lower vibration of ego, we miscreate and suffer in and from our own fabrications, and then wonder why we're forsaken. But when we are in spiritual consciousness, a deep and abiding awareness, understanding, and knowledge of our true identity, the mind is lifted to a higher frequency where it interprets for expression only that which is good, true, and beautiful. You see, the woman who in faith touched Jesus' garment was healed. And to the deaf man, he said, "Be open." When no fish had been caught, his instruction to the fisherman was to let down your nets for a catch. To the man with the withered hand, he said, "Stretch out your hand." And when it was necessary to pay taxes, he said to go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. And every recorded miracle, Jesus represents each one of us as our complete self and also the recipient of the blessing. The dispirited mind in tune with ego. Whenever a self-created effect seems to be threatening us, well, let us remember to reach in and touch the presence in meditation, to be open to the voice of spirit within, and to see our consciousness as the net for substance, the all-inclusive supply. And hand is the power of manifestation. So through thought, we take on the power, the will, and extend it outward to heal the withered condition, seeing the radiation of mind energy going before us to make all things new. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide in abundance for every good work. Corinthians 9:8. Surrendering to higher power and keeping our mind focused on spirit, on the infinite knowingness and activity of our only self, provides a channel of awareness through which spirit expresses. However, on what frequency of consciousness are we maintaining that awareness? I can be in a lower frequency, that being my reality at the time, and still be intellectually aware of the presence within, and myself will assist me in whatever way is appropriate for that level. You see, the power of God meets us on whatever level of consciousness we may be experiencing at that time. So perhaps another way of saying the same thing is that our world is always a reflection of how we think and feel. That's the way the law works. The power will work with you and for you only as it works as you. The divine I says, "I stand at the door and knock." Being omnipresent in consciousness, our holiness is at every door, at every possible reality, fueled in our frequency world. Which door will you open? Let your choice be the one of your highest ideals, and the vision will be honored. We can know God because I and my consciousness are one, meaning that our mind and awareness, or soul and spirit, are one. All that my consciousness is, I am. All that I recognize with, I am. Jesus referred to the infinite cause as the Father, the fathering or creative spirit within, the known God. Paul called it the Christ in you. After commanding God's will is mine, and the light of God comes to you, you will see such beauty that you will know it is not of you. And out of your joy, you will create beauty in his name, for your joy could no more be contained than his. God seeks all to be one with him. And as all things were made by him, that which is creative influence in every herb or mineral or vegetable and individual activity is that same for you called God, and seeks expression, even as when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. For this is the law, this is love. And any time you obey God, a blessing will follow, because you are sowing a seed to grow and raise higher. It may not happen immediately, but at some point, in some way, you will see God's goodness in your life to a greater degree. So when God brings concerning matters to our attention, if we want continued success and blessings, we have to be willing to face the truth about ourselves and take the corrective measures God commands. It is important to understand that everything God tells us is for our good. God never holds back from his best. Your Heavenly Father is waiting for your obedience so he can release more of his favor and blessings in your life. So how high do you want to raise? Do you want to see more of God's blessings and favor? If so, the higher we go, the more disciplined we must be, the quicker we must obey. Spiritual consciousness is the key. And with each step up Jacob's ladder, we claim we will climb higher into the realm of reality where nothing can touch us but God. You see, the lesson is that all power is within you as protective guidance and around you as a shield of security. It is your awareness of who and what you are that draws forth the protective guidance and the shield of security. There are numerous cases in history of such rings of protection where people were saved from car crashes or storms and accidents by unseen voices and hidden hands. Why and how? These were people on the spiritual path who had realized their divine identity and stepped into the ring of protection and know their strength, the power of their soul, and the Christ energies that are always with us. Christ is the universal consciousness of love that we see manifested in those who have forgotten their self, as Jesus gives themselves that others may know the truth. He came into the earth that we, as conscious souls, might know ourselves to be ourselves, and yet one with him, as he, the Master, the Christ, knew himself, and yet one with the Father. In the life, then, of Jesus, we find the oneness made manifest through the abilities to overcome all of the temptations, all of the physical and those desires, through making the will one with the Father. Then we, through the same channel, may reach that perfection even higher than the angels. Unless each individual puts away their selfish desires, which arise and become as little children, we may never quite understand the simplicity of Christ's faith, Christ-like faith, Christ-like simplicity, Christ-like forgiveness, Christ-like love, Christ-like helpfulness to others. It is not what the mind knows, but what the mind applies about what it knows. There are no shortcuts to knowledge, to wisdom, to understanding. These must be lived and must be experienced by each and every soul. Commune with him means doing, not shutting self away from your friends or others or your neighbors or even yourself, but applying yourself to the duties, the materials, the mental and spiritual. Being afraid is the first consciousness of sin entering in. For if you are made afraid, you lose consciousness of yourself's own heritage with the Son. So, for we are heirs through him to that kingdom that is beyond all of that that would cause a doubt. Self-awareness, selfishness, is that that makes us afraid. Self-awareness and self-consciousness brings fear and doubt. And fear is the root of most of the ills of people, whether of self or of what others think of us or how we appear to others. To overcome fear is to fill the mental, spiritual being with that which wholly casts out fear, the love manifest in the world through him. Perfect love casts out fear. Where fear enters, there sin lieth at the door. For he or she that is without fear is free indeed.
And you know, Sandy, there's one other piece I wanted to add too to what you're saying, and that is never fail to ask for grace, no matter what you're going through, how hard it may seem. And I didn't learn this, you know, until, you know, many years after I had started my ministry, that I would ask for grace. And all of a sudden, there'd be a pause, and an answer would come back, yes, grace can be given in this situation. And I was like, oh my goodness, are you saying that I could have been asking for grace all along? And they said, yes, but not always is grace given, because sometimes you have to walk through the muck and the mud so that somebody coming behind you or someone who else who is in need will have a path to follow. And if that's the case and there is no path, you're blazing the path, then, you know, then you will have to walk it. But otherwise, never, ever, you know, forget to ask for grace every day of your life.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. And you know, it is the fear of the unknown that first makes fear, because fear is as the fruit of indecisions, and doubt is as the father of fear. So fear is as the beginning of faltering, and faltering is that which makes for disease throughout the soul and the mental body, you know? And worry, in its last analysis, is that of fear. So, like Jim has said, never worry as long as you can pray. And when you can't pray, you better begin to worry, for then you have something to worry about.
Yeah.
But, the greater soul development that may be for any soul is to be less and less self, less and less with any material desire, but more and more in accord with the Christ, the Holy One, the life, the manifestation of all those things that have been said to be so impractical as related to materiality. Yet, they are the real, the true things and the experiences of every soul. So know that as the mind is represented by the Christ consciousness, it is the builder, it is the way, it is the truth, it is the light. That is, through the manner in which the mind is held. Not that it denies, not that it rejects, but that it is made as one with the purposes he, thy Lord, thy Christ, thy God, thy holy self, would have it be. No influence, without or within, may be of detrimental force to self, so long as we will surrender ourselves with the thought and the ability of the Christ consciousness, and then practice it while dealing with others.
And to know it personally. I mean, to literally, how many of us pray to God or pray to Christ or the Holy Trinity, and we see it as something way up there and so big that, you know, we're nothing. And yet, that's not the God we serve. The God we serve wants us to come to him as a little child. God wants us to come to him, you know, wholly ourselves, and to truly give of ourselves in that expression, because that's the way he created us, and God loves us.
Right. And remember that in the beginning, God moved and said, let there be light. And there was light, but it's not the light of the sun, but rather that of which, through which, in which every soul had and has and ever has its being. For in truth, You live and move and have your being in him. Acts 17:28. You know, do you study creation, man's relationship to God? What is light? That came into the earth as described in the third verse of Genesis 1. Find that light in itself. It isn't the light of the noonday sun, nor the moon, but rather of the Son of Man. Because the Spirit moved and our soul moved, and there was light, the mind. The light became the light of mankind, and the mind made aware of conscious existence in the spiritual aspects or the relationships to one another. It's understanding. So let our patience, our tolerance, our activity be of such a positive nature that it fits you as a glove to minister to those who are sick, to those who are afflicted, to sit with those that are shut in, to read with those that are losing their perception, to reason with those that are weary of the turmoil, and showing brotherly love, patience, persistence in the Lord, and love, the love that overcometh all things. Being holy is just being kind, gentle, patient, and long-suffering. Live those that are of the fruits of the Spirit, namely peace, harmony, long-suffering, brotherly love, and patience. Showing mercy and grace, peace, long-suffering, brotherly love, kindness, even under the most trying circumstances. Understand that every day is a choice. You know, and we are brought here to be able to share God's love. We are a channel for God, for we are all one. And when we realize that the more good that we do for others, the more good that comes back to us. Why not?
And you know, Sandy, there's one other piece there. And that is when you pray, you know, to Christ Jesus to protect, ask that your prayers be protected. If you're praying, you know, for someone who's ill or praying for a relative that's not doing so well, you know, you send that energy out and it can be the purest, but that doesn't mean that it can't be snatched away by the dark forces. You know, we've seen it too many times and we were told how to counteract it or stop it from happening. And that really is to ask for it to be protected before you send it out to whoever it's going to.
I totally agree. Well, we want to thank all of you for listening to our radio show, and we do hope that you will join us again in 2 weeks.
If not, give us a call, 304-567-3354, and please feel free to ask us any questions that you'd like about anything spiritual, and we'll be more than happy to answer.
God bless.